How are we doing, HEP? Are we live and ready? Okay, thank you very much. All right, welcome everybody. Today is Tuesday, September 9th, 2014. This is our regular city council session report. Mr. Pannone?
Thank you, Mayor. There was one item on the agenda. There was discussion, but no reportable action was taken.
Thank you very much. And now we'll move on to mayor and council members' reports and announcements. And I'll start out tonight with a few. First of all, we need to thank the Tognazzini and Harbor Hut folks for their fundraising efforts for Jose Duran, who passed away and has a family that is in need. So I think that was quite successful and generous of those two families in that effort. Also, thanks to the Morro Bay 50th Committee for their work on a successful parade. It was a great job, good turnout, so thanks for that. And then I'm going to report out on the League of California Cities conference. Last week, council member Christine Johnson and myself attended, and our new city manager, David Buckingham, also joined us in that, the 2014 annual League of California Cities conference, which was held in Los Angeles. In 2015, it will be held in San Jose. Last year, it was in Sacramento. And the mission behind the California League of Cities is to expand and protect local control for cities through education and advocacy to enhance the quality of life of all Californians. Approximately 400 cities are members of that, and the conference provided educational seminars for city managers, city attorneys, fiscal officers, city clerks, public safety officers, public works, mayors, and council members. The sessions had panelists from California cities speaking about creative ideas, collaborative solutions, and lessons learned. The conference was both enlightening and motivational, and all the cities have. It is interesting because while you're there, you're attending different sessions, and all cities, there's different topics that you can attend, and very common theme. All the cities there participating want to see every other city do well. And there's a lot of collaboration, and the expression of so many California cities are really challenged in many similar ways. So that was one theme there. But myself, I was privileged to be a panelist on one of the sessions, and the topic of that panel was transforming cities into a welcomed place to live and work. And the theme behind that was the American Bloom Organization, which I'll speak to during presentations. The panel was developed by Mayor Tony Ferrara from Arroyo Grande, and the panel spoke about the benefits of American Bloom, the organization, and how the success of their volunteers in the city of Arroyo Grande and the city of Morro Bay. It was a great invitation by Mayor Ferrara to participate in that, and it was a proud moment for Morro Bay going to a league conference where there's, in essence, 400 other cities there, and you're representing your city on the panel speaking to that. So that was a pretty proud moment and wanted to speak to that. I'm looking forward to next year's conference, and I'm going to encourage the rest of council and staff for more attendance in that. And next year, I think there's great opportunity for this venue for all. So that's my report out on the league, and I'll turn it to you, George, if you have any announcements.
Yes, I just want to follow up on what the mayor brought up about the turnout for the, and I want to just, on behalf of their family, and I just want to thank everybody that came out. It just, I'm so proud of this town. They get behind something like this, and they really show up. I mean, this means a lot to that family. I mean, 3.5 kids he left behind, and this is going to go a long way. So thanks a lot to Morro Bay for turning out. And I know Ken's out there, and he's going to speak on this, but we're going to have to do something about this, people and these bicycles and these skateboards. It's just running reckless. I mean, we lost a nice young man. We don't need to lose any more. We got to do something. I don't know exactly what it is, but maybe Ken's got some ideas. I see him out there anyway.
Thanks, George. Christine?
Thank you, and good evening, everyone. I would also echo the sentiments that have been mentioned about Jose Duran, and it was amazing to see such a long line. I didn't attend the event Monday, but I did try to buy a chicken dinner on Sunday, but They just ran out, and it was fantastic that they did. So I do know of efforts to continue to gather funds and support for this family. And for those of you that George was a little, I think maybe the 3.5 kids might have thrown you a little, but it's 3 children, and his wife is pregnant in her 7th month. So it's incredibly tragic for this family, and also for all the families that are touched by this family, as they have students currently at Del Mar Elementary and Los Osos Middle School. So it's quite a tragedy. And if you are interested in continuing to support the family, I spoke to the elementary school today, and that is one. Anyone who's ever gone before would tell you the same thing, that it's a wonderful networking opportunity for the city of Morro Bay, in particular for smaller cities. Large cities like San Francisco and Los Angeles and San Diego, they're forces to be reckoned with no matter where they go. But for smaller cities with some of the very similar challenges, especially coastal cities, we really do need to network and get out there and find out what are best practices that other cities are doing. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. As a matter of fact, any presentation you go to, people are basically saying, steal our idea. Email at us, we'll tell you how to do it. So it's a really great opportunity for Morro Bay, and I want to tell you that Mayor Irons did a wonderful job presenting Morro Bay in Bloom, and the volunteers who created his PowerPoint was also a really impressive and fantastic looking PowerPoint. I'd say people were very motivated to begin their own American Bloom programs thanks to the efforts of Oro Grande and Morro Bay here in this county. And then lastly, there are two things that the mayor didn't mention that I think are worth noting, that there are two separate groups that Morro Bay can attend at the conference. And they also have subgroups here throughout the year, but at the conference you get a lot of people at once attending. And the first one is the Coastal Cities Issue Group. So this is cities make up everybody on the coast, so from Eureka to Encinitas and everyone in between. We're able to network staff side and elected official side to talk about what are our shared and common interests with the coast. So obviously, too, we spend a little bit of time talking about the Coastal Commission and projects that are currently moving through the commission, things that have been decided, how those communities might have worked through their approval process. So that's a very important opportunity for Morro Bay. Obviously, we're almost entirely in the coastal zone. In addition, there's a chance that many of the coastal commissioners also sit back at home. They might be a city council person. And it's also a time to interact with them and get to know them better, because face it, we will have projects coming before coastal, so it's good to have a relationship with, at least a peer-to-peer relationship with any coastal commissioner who's actually sitting on their local as a local elected official. And then the last group is the Channel Counties Luncheon, a little bit different, which is different from the Coastal Cities Interest Group. The Channel Counties Luncheon brings together elected officials and staff from Monterey, San Luis Obispo, and
Ventura.
No, it starts in SLO, and then it goes to Santa Barbara County and Ventura County. So that's an opportunity for us to share everything that's going on in our cities, and everybody's reading the same newspapers, right? So we're sort of up to date on what's happening in everyone's cities, but it's another good chance to network with peers, and we also have a person who is advocating for us in the league on the staff side, so he is there also. We can talk to him about concerns. So that's a very interesting and different experience for us, and it's also just really nice to sit next to people and talk about how, you know, everyone shares some of the same challenges. So I would encourage, again, like the mayor said, more Morro Bay participation next year. So thanks a lot, and that's all.
Nancy? Thanks, Christine.
First, I want to also extend my sympathy to the family of Jose Duran and echo George's comments about bicycles and cars and skateboards. It's a problem. On a happier note, on behalf of the 50th Anniversary Committee, I want to thank all of those who participated in our parade and our Dahlia Days festival. These include, also the Princess Pageant, which was great fun this year. But among others, the Morro Bay Historical Society, the Morro Bay Garden Club, and the Floral Design Study Club, which is a county-wide gardening group. We really thank all of those groups for participating. And all of our volunteers, the police department, the fire department, were absolutely wonderful, as well as other staff. But especially a great big thank you for Joe Woods and his staff. Matt and Josh were just unbelievable. They were such a big help to get things set up and going, and we couldn't have done it without staff help. And last but not least, I can't forget our wonderful husbands, John Solu and Gary Johnson, without whom we never would have gotten through all this. They hauled a lot of stuff, those two boys. So thank you to everybody who participated. It was an absolutely fabulous, successful event, and we will rest up and recover soon.
Thanks, Nancy. How about you, Noah?
Yeah, and thank you. And just to follow up on Mr. Duran and his family, I don't know if you mentioned George, but if there's interest from someone to contribute or help in any way, do you know the best route for them to do that?
I think she pointed it out.
Oh, good. You want to say that again? Because I missed it.
Oh, it's okay. You weren't paying attention to my announcements. It's okay. It's on record now that you weren't. So it's, I'm teasing. I'm teasing you, Noah.
Starting in the morning at 9 a.m. is the annual coastal cleanup. And our harbor department, amongst the other traditional sites, has organized a cleanup of Shell Beach at Bayshore Bluffs, which is where quite a few kayaks and boating vessels have started to accumulate there. And correct me if I'm wrong, Eric, but the idea would be to meet there about 9 with some gloves, maybe some water, and the department will be leading a cleanup. And if someone would like to continue to store their boat there, they can contact the harbor department just to notify that, yes, that boat is owned and being taken care of. And if the boats that are people that have boats down there but they don't contact the harbor department, those would be the boats that would be cleaned up. It'd be assumed at that point by the 20th that there's no owner and they've been abandoned. Is that correct? Okay, so please do contact the harbor department if you have a boat down there and you'd like to continue that. And also, that same day is our annual Hunger Walk organized by the San Luis Food Bank, and that will be starting for Morro Bay at 1 p.m. at St. Timothy's Church. And if you'd like some more information about the Hunger Walk, you can go to slofoodbank.org or call 238-4664. And then finally, you may have heard about the bond measure that's going to the November ballot regarding San Luis Coastal School District, the Measure D bond, which is a reinvestment in San Luis Coastal, focused mostly at the high schools, including Morro Bay High. And the project list does include a community pool, a school and community shared pool for at Morro Bay High School campus. What's important to know is that if you'd like information, San Luis Coastal School District has already put out quite a bit of fact sheets and detail online, but they also be hosting public tours of the high school and reviewing in detail more of what the expenses would be used for and how they would be managed. And those tours, one is September 20th, that same day, at 10 a.m. at Morro Bay High School, and the second is October 4th at 10 a.m., both at the high school. And I'm sure if you are really interested, through the website searching Measure D San Luis Coastal, you can find all sorts of additional opportunities to get more detail if you'd like to learn more about this bond measure, which will be a property assessment on everyone in San Luis Coastal School District. So just to end, I had also one last announcement regarding the senior limo project that's been on again, off again for the last couple of years. And we have an organization that stepped up to be our lead organization. It's the Morro Bay Lions Club, which is very exciting. And the idea with this limo project is it's an all-volunteer transport option for seniors who don't drive that also does not conflict or compete with our existing transit resources. So it would be an after-hours potentially thing in the evening to get people to these meetings or community functions, special events, and so forth. But what the Lions Club is starting with is a survey that will try to get a better understanding of whether this service would be beneficial, how we could structure the service to make sense, and also if people are interested in helping them get involved as drivers and so forth. So working with our public services department, this survey, which you can see up on the overhead, has been posted at the city's website. It's also available at City Hall, and you can pick other surveys up by calling myself at 772-7668, or Chuck Stoll, who's one of the leads from the Lions Club, at 772-1330. And completed surveys can be done electronically online or returned to Spencer's Market, the Senior Center, Morro Bay City Hall, or just giving it to either Chuck or myself. So if you get a chance, please fill this out. The closing date for the survey would be the end of the month, 1st of October. And the information that we get out of this survey will help determine whether we go forward with the project or not. So thanks again for considering taking a survey and letting us know what you think about the concept.
Thanks, Noah. I just have one more follow-up comment as far as the league goes. Kind of sharing comments with Councilmember Christine Johnson. In one notable event that happened at the league was the swearing in of a new president, and that was Mayor Tony Ferrara of Arroyo Grande. And that's a big deal. The League of California Cities, they are there to they look at California legislation that affects local cities, whether or not there's takeaways, if you will, is one word. But anything that might impact local cities, the California League works diligently on addressing those. And I think to have a local representative from Arroyo Grande, Mayor Ferrara, being elected as the education and community involvement by encouraging use of flowers, plants, trees, and other environmental lifestyle enhancements. Morro Bay became affiliated with the American Bloom back in October of 2013. And as a Morro Bay in Bloom volunteer, it's a nonprofit. So that took place back in October of 2013. And then in July of 2014, Morro Bay in Bloom affiliate invited American Bloom to the city of Morro Bay. The Organization of American Bloom, it's a nationwide organization. They go out, they have volunteer judges that go out to the cities and evaluate the cities and help them cultivate more beautiful cities. And so in July of this year, the judges came through Morro Bay. They did an evaluation of the city, and the results of that will be disclosed at the symposium in October. Every year there's an annual symposium at one major city. This year it's at Philadelphia. So the symposium, all the judges that go around and evaluate different cities throughout the United States, Arroyo Grande being one of those, Morro Bay being another, that the results of those evaluations will be presented and awards would be handed out to the cities based on six evaluation criteria, and to name those would be floral displays, landscape areas, urban forestry, environmental efforts, and heritage preservation and overall impression. Efforts are always also evaluated in four sectors, and that would be municipal, commercial, residential, and community involvement. Judges Evelyn Amani from Southern California and Bruce Riggs from New York evaluated Morro Bay. While the judges were here, Evelyn and Bruce awarded four certificates of admiration to the following. And at this time, I'll go up to the podium and I'll call out the recipients of this and ask them to come to the podium. How we doing, AGP? We doing okay out there? Looks like we're doing okay. Good. So the recipients, I'd like to name them and ask them to come up. Their certificate, I'll read the certificate. As I said, Evelyn Alamani and Bruce Riggs, and the certificate reads, "We noticed the exceptional quality, beauty, and care of your property. Thanks for doing your part to make America a better place to live, one community at a time." And the recipients are Lena Thomas from Colesse Bookstore. Would you please come forward, Lena? Mm-hmm. Lena, this is a presentation from American Bloom, your certificate and a letter for you. Thanks. It's a great recognition for them, and it just is, you know, building pride in our community. So thanks very much.
Thank you.
All right, Lena, thank you. And then thanks. And the next recipient is the Cloisters Nature Area. And there's a Cloisters Association group, and I asked Don Beatty to come and represent the Cloisters group. And once again, the same presentation, and it's just the exceptional quality, beauty, and care of your property. Thanks for doing your part and making America a better place to live one community at a time. And the Cloisters group has done that. So here's the certificate from America in Bloom. And the two judges, Evelyn and Bruce, have signed it. And there's also a letter from Morbay. Thank you. Thanks, Don. Thank you. And this one is a residence. So the judges will go throughout the city. Obviously, we had an open area. We had an area that's part of our city, a long history of the Colesse bookstore, so that was notable as well. And then this one is for a resident, and I won't read your address, but it's for Vince and Janet Marino, and they're Moore Bay residents, and the two judges, Bruce and Evelyn, recognize them. So if you'd please come get your certificate. So thank you, Janet. And this is their certificate and a letter from the city. So thanks very much. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
And lastly is Sunshine Health Food, the Shine Cafe, and that would be Greg and Tanner. So these judges, as I said, they've signed the bottom. They made a point of leaving these certificates behind and asking to...
It might be safer.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Eric. Thanks, man.
Yeah,
thanks.
Slip the first
time.
Yeah.
Can't hide forever.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, folks, getting back to business. Thanks for everybody's participation and presentations and announcements and part of why we're such a cool city. So thanks very much. Now we're moving on to public comment, and we have a business spot, Shannon Sawicki, that's going to open for our public comment today. And public comment is for items not on the agenda, for those who would like to speak to public comment. After Shannon speaks, you have 3 minutes and to address items not on the agenda. Welcome, Shannon.
Hi. Thank you for inviting me. Good evening, everybody. There's a few people that I know here. I am new to the area. I just moved here in March from Redlands, California. And I worked there for 13 years. I was a lifestyle and fitness coordinator for seniors. And my background is in gerontology. How did I end up in Morro Bay? Well, we, like a lot of people, come here and you visit and you love it. And when we came in January, our friend said, well, stop whining and crying and just move down here. And then in February, my husband came home from work and said, I quit and we're moving in 2 weeks. So wow. Here I am. My business is Shore Senior Fitness, very original name, huh? I know. I created this business out of necessity from the things that just working with seniors and things that I have seen over the years. I know we have Morro Bay, and this whole Central Coast area is amazing for all of the fitness opportunities that they offer to everyone, but I want to specifically cater to those who can't get out because there are so many other illnesses, diseases, phobias, things like that for people who would like to better their physical life, mentally, physically, and socially, but they just can't. So that's why I created Shore Senior Fitness. I am a personal trainer, group fitness trainer, senior fitness specialist as well. And I also focus on, you know, diseases of age, osteoporosis, arthritis, fibromyalgia, and you don't have to be old to have that. But on and on and on, and that's what I have my experience in. And right now, with my clients, I also offer them a way to interact with me, and I also keep record and keep very close contact with the doctors and their physical therapists. So when physical therapy is over, I keep in contact with therapy to follow up on what exercises and protocol to follow with them next. And this is basically to help people get back out into the community, because, you know, sometimes that happens. You have a fall, you lose your confidence, you lose your self-esteem, or whatever it is. There may be a hospital stay or some illness where you just can't go out or you don't want to. Yeah, the gyms are great, but if you don't have the wherewithal to get there mentally, you're not going to go. And so that's another thing that I offer to help get people back out into the community. And it's been great here. It's been great here, and the people have been really, really wonderful. And I think that's all I have to say about that. I have a brochure for people that would like to see it. And my website is up and available. And if you have any questions for me, you can email me, call me, whatever. And a couple of you know how to reach me personally. Thank you.
Great, Shannon. I hope you can pass some of those brochures out to our Chamber of Commerce as well. Great. Thank you, Shannon.
Good evening, folks. Ken Vestergaard, resident of Morro Bay. I'd also like to commend the parade crew committee Saturday. It was wonderful. I've only been here 19 years, but that was probably one of the best parades that I have seen. Creative entries, just awesome. So congratulations to everybody, including the entrants who participated. And yes, I would, George. I'd like to talk about this issue that we have. Bicyclists and skateboarders are not bad people. They make wrong choices. You can, any day you can come down Morro Bay Boulevard or watch Morro Bay Boulevard, you're going to see bicyclists and people on skateboards, not just kids, adults, who will swerve back and forth all the way down Morro Bay Boulevard, all through them stop signs. You have a problem on Harbor Street, where they come down Harbor Street, cross Embarcadero, fly through where the Anderson Inn is, and through the underpass there. Can't see a car coming around the corner. There's prominent people in Morro Bay that I see continually going through stop signs. What can we do about that? Probably many things, but the only thing I have is, the thing is, we all need to get together with this and save our children and our adults. Ironically, today, my four-year-old grandson, he's been asking, he wants to get a skateboard. So when my son brought him by today, I said, Stacy Clay, I said, I'm going to go shopping with you, and we're going to get you a little skateboard and a helmet. You know what his response was? Oh, no, Papa Ken, I'll be careful. That's what they all think. Nothing's going to happen. So let's get out there, folks, and try to see what we can do. I know the enforcement is probably going to be the last thing that we have to do. But please, be responsible, bicyclists and skateboarders. Have a good meeting, folks. Thank you. Oh, by the way, and St. Timothy's also will accept donations for that family. Thank you.
Thanks, Ken. Anybody else for a public comment?
Hi, I'm Karen Crowley, and I'm here as a resident. And as someone that chose to live here back in 1998 and raised a family, and I'm here to bring awareness to Measure D, and that's a bond that's going to be on our ballots this November. I have a son that's in the high school, and I went and sat and listened to the slideshow presentation for the school district board meeting back in, I think it was April or May, and it was pretty disconcerting looking at all the slides of really outdated electrical and plumbing and windows. And so I'm here to bring awareness to that. And for example, you know, let me back up a little bit. To me, voting for Measure D is really a vote for our community, and it's an investment in our residents who live here. And that to me is a huge opportunity. For example, when I drive by the brand new beautiful building at Limos, I get this huge feeling of pride, and it's like, wow. I mean, wouldn't that be great to have that same feeling for our high school? And I really encourage the people to take up NOAA's announcement and do the walkthrough, do the school tour. you'll see how run down things are over there. So just encouraging everyone to vote for Measure D. Thank you.
Thanks, Karen.
Good evening, Mayor Irons and City Council. My name is Rigmore. I am not generally in favor of police power, but how they handled an incident Labor Day deserves a compliment. A young Morro Bay couple dumped a truckload of trash off in the yard next to the Sun Bulletin building. The police swiftly caught them, and what amazes me is that the police made them come back next day and clean it up. In addition, the young couple fixed a previously broken gate for $20. They did a great job cleaning up, and the repair on the gate is better than I had bargained for. I do not know if this is a normal way by Morro Bay Police to deal with an issue like that, but to me, that would make them unique and terrific. My thanks also go to the person who so quickly made the report to the police. I am thanking them all for making me warm and fuzzy. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, Rigmore.
Good evening, Barbara Dorr. On the issue of the bicycle accident death, we know the family, and we've been talking, and in our communities, we have many bicycle enthusiasts, whether they need to ride a bicycle to work or not, and many of the adults do not wear helmets. And I'm just wondering if somehow your leadership, working with the chamber and our small businesses, if there could be some way that the business could pressure their employees that ride their bicycles to work at many different hours to make sure they have a safe bicycle and they have the appropriate helmet on and safety gear. I know that everything is legal and you don't have to wear a helmet, but if you're smart, you wear a helmet for extra safety when you're riding your bike. So if you can do anything and talk to the chamber, talk to the business community, that would be so wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara.
Good evening. My name is Susan Stewart. I'm a resident of Morro Bay and a business owner here. I have to leave, so I'm going to speak briefly to item D on your agenda, the Dynegy application to FERC for energy generating wave parks. And what I'd like to say is that while we are all eager for new clean industries in our community to bolster our base economy and provide job opportunities, fishing and energy industry representatives to help provide the kinds of educational and informational forums and opportunities for community input. So feel free to call on us for that, and we will help, as we have before, to organize things. And then one last little thing, just a reminder, the Avocado Margarita Festival is this weekend down on the waterfront. Lots of great food. We will have plenty of avocados. It is a fundraiser for many good and important organizations in the community. Local restaurants are participating. There will be music and vendors as well. So I hope we see everybody down there. Thank you.
Thanks, Susan.
Nancy Castle, community artist, and I'm one of those adults that rides my bike. I have a little tiny Stingray that my feet reach the ground when I ride at my commute of about 200 feet from my house to my business. But I was out on Main Street one day, and Ken saw me, and the next time he saw me, he said, "You should be wearing a helmet." And I went, "Oh, no, I don't need a helmet." But I'm going to get a helmet, and I'm going to wear it. And I recommend that every adult who rides a bike in the city of Morro Bay do the same so that we can be the example for the younger generation and for other people. But first, I want to give a hats off to everybody in the parade, everybody who watched the parade, and particularly those that put on the parade. Joan Solo and Nancy Johnson were key in that. And I was standing on the street corner in an even more outrageous hat and did a video, which will take a while to get on the channel, but we'll have it up there, hopefully by Thanksgiving. Let me just put that out there. And it'll be great fun. And it's supposed to go in the time capsule, so I hope that's timely enough. But I really came to talk about the Monday night dinners, of course, here at the Vets Hall. Every Monday night, 5 to 6 p.m., we serve food. And we have counted on as many as 60 people, so we have enough to do that. The numbers have been slightly less. I think we had 50 last night. But it's still a very successful thing, and it partly functions because of all of the volunteers in the groups, which include the Lions Club, St. Timothy's, St. Peter's, Circle of Friends, Rock Harbor Fellowship, and also we get contributions from several businesses, and we're certainly open to more. Sun and Buns Bakery down there by the chessboard gives us cookies every Monday night, and the Rock Espresso Bar provides the coffee. Everybody's welcome. You know, if you have, come down and see what we're doing and see if you want to get involved in helping. If you need, come on down and enjoy a good meal. We also do have distribution tables for food, clothing. This week they had books, toiletries. So as you're cleaning out your closet, bring your extra stuff down to us as the seasons change. And we will need more warmer clothes as time goes up. In my last few seconds, I want to invite everybody to another event on October 20th. Speaking of food, St. Peter's is having an evening barbecue. We're going to provide dinner for all of the people who have been involved in the coastal cleanup, playing soccer, walking in the hunger walk, and whatever else they're doing on that day. It's a chicken meal. It's going to be donation, suggested donation, and it should be a very nice evening, 545 Shasta Street. And just in case I went too fast, my phone number is 441-5770, and I'll talk to anybody. Thank you, folks.
Nancy, I've got a question before you go. I think you said October 20th, isn't it? September 20th?
Oh, well, that's my birthday, you know. But I meant September 20th, so.
So does that mean there's going to be a barbecue on your birthday
on
October 20th?
Actually, that's a Monday night, and St. Peter's is serving, so I'll be able to give everybody food. It's
okay.
Going to be wonderful.
So September 20th is it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, Nancy. Bill Martini, Morro Bay, and I'm here to talk as far as the site location of the wastewater treatment plant, and I noticed on PWAB they had a tour of Steve McElvain's property, and just kind of, I know we're getting close on making a site location. I would highly recommend Steve McElvain's property for several reasons. Number one, he is a motivated, willing partner, it would appear. It would be a win-win situation. There's Avocado Margarita Festival this week. Avocados take water. Another win-win. If you've noticed on Highway 41, Bob Stoller's Ranch, they've stumped 200 acres of avocados. They've chopped them because of no water. So it's critical in the Morro Valley. And it's an ideal location also for the city yard. It sounded like he's also willing, or, you know, it would be a dual site for, you know, the city yard also. The Chorro Valley, I just want to speak on it real quickly. The Men's Colony has had nitrate problems coming down the creek. There's been a study that said they were already recharged. So, I mean, there's no problem on the basin being overdrafted right at this point. It just strictly the creek has to flow at a certain I think it's CFI for Morro Bay City to use their wells, but there's no problem on the basin as far as the recharge. And also approximately half that land is actually in a conservation easement. In fact, there were 60 acres of avocados out there that were pulled out. I think it was Fish and Game bought the property just this side of where the shooting range is, or, you know, out past Canet. So between Cuesta College and here, most of it is in conservation anyway. Thanks.
Thanks, Bill. Anybody else for public comment? Seeing none, I'll close public comment and bring it back to council. Any response or remarks from council? Christine?
Yes, thank you. And thanks to everyone who spoke on the issue of riding and skating safely. I just want to clarify that if you are under 18, that is the law in California that you need to wear a helmet. So it's 17 years and under. I will say that I do observe every day biking to school children with their helmets on. I rarely see a child without a helmet, but ironically, they are accompanied by adults without helmets. And I saw it twice this morning, and I'll make a note to specifically reach out to those parents and say that. I think if we all take initiative like that in a very nice way and say, hey, I'm concerned about you, then I think it can be handled nicely. But I also will, I often attend, we have the Morro Bay Citizens Bike Committee, so I think that I often attend their meetings and I will forward these concerns specifically to them. They have a wide network of people that are on their email list, so I'll talk to the president and see if we can't start a public conversation about that. And then I just wanted to, first of all, get this fly away, but also to comment that, you know, accidents do happen. So even though someone may be riding a bike as an adult, and again, you know, it's not against the law to choose not to wear a helmet, but, you know, accidents do happen, and I certainly would continue to have us support that family knowing, you know, details we may find out about the accident, but, you know, it truly is a tragedy, and I think what we can all do is ensure that, you know, we're trying to bike and skate safely, whether we're on the road on a bike or we're in a car driving. So just wanted to address that concern that came from the community. Thanks.
Thank you. Anybody else? Nancy?
Addressing also the bicycle and skateboard concerns, we have so many, many people who ride their bikes or their skateboards to work. I really think we need some education, public education, about what the rules are. You know, several years ago, we did make it legal to ride skateboards in Morro Bay. One of the parts of that was that they should then be following the bicycle rules, be in the bike lanes on the roads. Be nice if all the bicycle riders were there, too. But we really need to have people follow the rules, and I think they need to be we need to be sure they know what the rules are. Helmets are very, very important. It was years ago my daughter went over the handlebars of her bike up in San Francisco, and I think if she had not had a helmet, we would have lost her. But and she was older. So helmets are extremely important. And as Christine said, I think we have a wonderful committee right here in our town. The Citizens Bike Committee, I used to sit on that when I had more time. That's a wonderful vehicle to work with the chamber and anybody else to get the word out about first education, following the rules, and if that doesn't work, we're going to have to start citing people, and I know they're not going to like it. And it's going to make people like Ken Vesterfeldt and some of our other wonderful volunteers the bad guy. But we just have to have safety. It's so important. So once again, I would suggest that we look to our Citizens Bike Committee to help with the education of this issue.
Okay. Thanks for the comments. And with that, public comment is closed, and we'll move on to our consent agenda. We have seven items on our consent agenda, and at this time I will open it up for public comment for anyone who would like to speak to the consent agenda. Seeing none, I'll close public comment for the consent agenda and bring it back to council. Does anybody have anything they'd like to pull from consent? To the left, to the right.
A7, please.
A7. And anything else? Do I have a motion to approve?
I'd like to pull A1.
Oh, okay. A1, thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I need to take direction from the city clerk. Is it A2?
A2. I'll second it, and then we can go into discussion. So motion by Christine, a second by Jamie to approve the minutes as amended. Any discussion? I'd just like to just thanks for the corrections. I think, you know, it was notable some of the corrections in there. So thanks for doing that. And Jamie, thanks for being able to get that out to all the council members. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Motion carries. Item A250. Item A7, that is authorize city manager to negotiate and execute license agreement with the Central Coast Maritime Museum Association for display of up to 3 vessels and 2 kiosks in the city parking lot in Front Street, and that would be Nancy.
Yeah, there's a little bit of history behind this. First, I want to say I'm certainly a proponent of our Maritime Museum and glad to see it growing. The biggest concern has been parking down there, and I know a couple of businesses have expressed those concerns. I think what I want to be sure that we're seeing as we do this is that we're moving back into that parking lot that we acquired from Dynegy, normally known as the Triangle Lot. There was a movement several years ago, or a suggestion that kind of got lost, I think, that it would work better, it would be more obvious if that fence came down and some of those trees separating the two parking lots were removed. And I really think as this Maritime Museum is enlarged, that's extremely important. And I just wanted to be sure that we had that information out and available to people.
Yeah, I'd ask Mr. Endersby to comment on it, if you would.
Yeah, good evening, Mayor and Council. As far as the parking goes and parking spaces with a third vessel, Maritime Museum would like the third vessel. I think they're going to rearrange, do a little bit of a Chinese fire drill in terms of which one's where. But I think their location preference for a third vessel is the dirt area between the existing Front Street parking lot and the Triangle Lot, where you got the two driveways going in that kind of part company with each other, that in-between area, which would require trimming of that one tree there. So I believe that is their preferred location. As far as the rest of the museum as it moves forward in size and scope, obviously we haven't cited that and no application's been filed for building it. Beyond these 3 vessels and a couple of informational kiosks, or information boards, I don't believe they're intending to put anything else out. If anything further comes along, it's going to be the actual building, which hopefully isn't too many years down the road. Does that answer your questions?
Pretty much. I'm still just wondering about the feasibility of removing that fence. I know you mentioned one tree. There are probably a couple that need to come down or at least be trimmed. That parking lot is really not well marked for even visitors to know that they can park in there. And I mean, it looks like Mr. Who are you? It was a long weekend, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you. Anyway, it looks like he has something to say, too.
Come on, Rob.
The city doesn't actually own that lot as of yet. And if you remember, council did allocate parking in lieu funds. So once we do gain ownership of that property, we'll bring forward some improvements that we're proposing. And one of the improvements we propose to make that lot more usable and attractive for people to park in there was lowering that wall along the front, because that's what I've heard is people don't like parking back behind the wall where they can't be seen when they're going back to their car at night. So, but we need to gain ownership of the property first before we make any improvements there.
Thank you. I guess the only question remaining is when and how we do
that. But it would be nice to get a better signage or show in the parking lot. But I actually, one day when it was so full down there, I was Setter and told people to go over and park. They still were scared to go over there. It's intimidating for them.
Maybe you scared them, George.
But I think a nice big sign saying free parking area will do it.
Thanks, George. Noah, you had some comments?
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up and reinforce what Mr. Endersby said about the proposal for this additional vessel to be on display, and then the future discussion, which will be much more detailed about the final build out, or not the final build out, but the actual build out of the Maritime Museum facility. At that point, hopefully we'll have much more information about the future of the Triangle parking lot, and we'll have the ownership in hand and can proceed with that as a component to the options that are
That in of itself kind of has impact into that area, and I know that you and your department are, you know, are keeping an eye on that.
Yeah, the two driveways right next to each other, if we get really busy in those parking lots, probably doesn't make the best sense.
Right.
I just want to just commend the Maritime Museum Association also for the work that they've done on the vessel that they're going to bring out, the Alma. It looks fantastic, so it's going to be a great addition to their display out there. So just want to thank Larry and his group for doing that.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
There's another part of that, too. We need a crosswalk down there.
Oh, yeah.
Badly. I mean, we've got people going over there putting the garbage and things, and it's very simple to put a crosswalk in, I believe so.
Another check in the box.
There you go.
There you go.
When we do that realignment, we'll put the handicap ramps and the crosswalk in.
Got it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rob. Any other discussion on item A7?
I was just going to move approval of A7.
We have a motion to approve item A7 by Nancy and a second by Noah. If no discussion, seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Motion carries 5-0. Great. And we only have one more item here to discuss, and let's get on with that. And item D1 is consideration of Dynegy applications to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission for energy-generating wave parks in Morro Bay waters. The recommendation by staff is consider the wave park application proposal, harbor advisory board input, and provide comments or recommendations, if any, for staff to incorporate into a comment letter to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, FERC. And that would be Mr. Endersby.
Thank you, and good evening again. As you hopefully know, as everybody's hopefully aware, Dynegy is proposing some wave generation energy parks, or they're commonly called wave parks at this point, but they're electricity generating parks to be tied into the existing power plant grid infrastructure. Dynegy and G-Wave, which is the company that they're working with that are actually building these vessels, is applying to FERC, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, for preliminary permits for the two locations. And if I could get, AGP, look at that. Already got up. Two locations, as you see on the screen. One is off Point Estero, up above the Abalone Farm, and the other is basically directly out front of the harbor, both locations within the state 3-mile limit line. Dynegy has met earlier this year with representatives from the city. I think they met with everybody on the council individually. They met with the Commercial Fishermen's Organization and representatives of the recreational fisheries, as well as city staff, to try and identify what some of the issues are, what the concerns are, and as they move forward on this project. They propose an array of 60-some-odd generation devices over a period of time to be placed. They wish to put out a test project or a test device as soon as possible and prove the technology, and then slowly upsize that into a small array. And if that works, they'll upsize the array even larger, the end result being an approximate, according to their permit applications, 5.2 square miles of ocean territories with these devices. And from what I've seen, from the documentation that Dynegy has provided, they're basically 250-foot long cylinders, flattened cylinders that float in the water and ride up and down with the waves, and there's a device inside that moves in some fashion that generates the electricity. They're about 50 feet in diameter, about half of which would be above the water. Like I said earlier, they connect to the Morro Bay Power Plant. They hope to go through the existing oil pipeline that used to go out to the mooring right north of the rock. And they filed with FERC for these preliminary permits. It's a 60-day noticing period that began July 22nd. My math was a little off in my staff report. Earlier, I went with my fingers and toes and counted 60 days out from July 22 on a calendar. It's actually September 20th is the deadline for filing. Knowing that there's potential impacts to the city and region, the Harbor Advisory Board considered this at their last meeting on September 4th, and the commercial fishermen spoke, as well as all the Harbor Advisory Board members. There are a few representatives of the fishermen in the audience that spoke as well. And given the totality of the testimony heard and where Dynegy is proposing to place these wave park vessels, the Harbor Advisory Board voted unanimously to recommend that the City Council take a position against, or in opposition, or against FERC accepting these preliminary permit applications from Dynegy as proposed. The fishermen did meet, like I said, and they met with staff and council, and we had identified some areas that had a lot less impacts to the fisheries. If you look on the chart there, it's really probably about halfway in between the two, and about 600 feet of water is where the fishermen identified as the least objectionable area, mostly sand and mud bottom, not a lot of fishery impact, some, but probably about the minimum. The northern site off of Sterile Bay there, that's really in some pretty prime fishing grounds for a lot of commercial fishermen and recreational. And then right out front, it's right in the middle of the transit area going in and out of the harbor. Good fishing grounds for salmon, halibut, and some other species. So with the issue, impacts to fisheries and the potential safety impacts to vessels, which we're also concerned about, on the one hand, there's a desire to disguise these things enough so that they're not visual blight, they're not a big visual impact from land, but in doing that, you can understand that you're trying to hide them from sight. Well, hide them from sight from boats is kind of the opposite thing you want to do for boats, so there's a little bit of a balancing act there. So that's the position that the City Harbor Advisory Board took last week. Tonight, I've got presented you with two alternatives. The Harbor Advisory Board input was too late to incorporate into the council staff report here, but I did craft up two potential letter alternatives.
Welcome.
Thank you. Good evening again. Bill Martini, Morro Bay. And I did listen to the Harbor Advisory Board when this was presented, and I absolutely understand the concerns of the fishermen. We actually owned a ranch just up China Harbor, you know, just off where they're proposing. Huge fishing area for the fishermen. It's pretty impacted. My understanding is their ultimate objective is to put, I believe it was somewhere around 600, 650 of these out in the ocean. If I'm wrong, correct me. But they're like 35 foot tall. That's really a huge operation. First off, I'll backstep. I'm actually all for wave energy. And I think, you know, what they're proposing is an excellent idea. Yeah, I think it just has more to do with location. At the Harbor Advisory, I believe it was Gene Dowdy mentioned, and I totally agree with him, Diablo actually has some of the largest surf around. They actually have transmission lines. It'd be a perfect location for them. It may not benefit Morro Bay as much, but it would be kind of out of sight in a much better wave-producing area, and the transmission lines are right there on shore. And, of course, PG&E has a switchyard here, so, I mean, they could work all that out. It's not Dynegy, but as far as wave energy, I think it would be an excellent location. But to also put it out right in front of the harbor mouth, I mean, that would be, number one, visually it's a very poor location, but for boats coming in and out of the harbor, I think it's not the best site. Again, I wouldn't be in opposition to this. I would just strictly say that either maybe move it further up the coast from China Point, where it may less impact the fishermen, but ideally where your biggest surf, and I used to surf China Harbor, is actually down Diablo. There's bigger surf down in front of Diablo, and it would be an excellent location. So just a thought on go forward on it, but just a different location would be, you know, that would be a better location. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill. Anybody else for public comment?
Barbara Doerr. I, too, listened to the Harbor Advisory Board and their discussion regarding the documents. When I went into reading and researching this, the wave energy production, I wasn't really opposed to it, but the more I learned and the more I listened, I can see that there really is no alternative but to oppose these applications, especially because they are site-specific. There's none of the compromising that the Commercial Fishing Association wanted. If these go forward, that's what they're for, nothing else. And that's why I think you have no choice but to oppose it. I concur with the HAB and the commercial fishing interests and suggest that the city ask that FERC deny applications by Dynegy and G-Wave for both P145, 84, and 85 as a hazard to navigation and damaging to fishing and sea life, as was discussed at the board last night. I further suggest that you hire an outside consultant to follow any future application project process and review documents in order to advise the city regarding future Dynegy wave energy projects or FERC actions. I further ask that, you would ask Dynegy and G-Wave to come to the city of Morro Bay and give a wave energy plant presentation to all citizens, not just department heads, mayor and city council, and the Fishing Association, not just these private meetings where they can say whatever they want to say, but a public meeting, not behind closed doors or at a lunch, but here and invite the public in general to come and learn. I mean, this is a big deal. And I'd also like to ask you to please ask FERC or Dynegy and G-Wave to stop calling these wave energy production projects or plants underwater parks. They are anything but parks, and the term is highly deceptive. Please investigate the cost of also moving the switching site at the power plant site. This will be something in the future. If the Fishing Association compromise site off Chevron was a future application, maybe the switching site, PG&E switching site, should be closer to the Chevron site. I ask that this would allow for also the cleanup of the Morro Bay power plant site and improvements to our local coastal plan, and allow for the highest and best use for the power plant 100 acres for the benefit of the citizens of Morro Bay, bring in more economic development, and of course for the benefit of Dynegy. Please send a strong letter opposing both of these applications and ask that they be worked on, and tell G-Wave and Dynegy to come back and talk.
Church, I would call your attention to a couple of studies that have been completed, and maybe you've already seen those studies. I refer you to three or four different sites. One, the Humboldt Wave Connect pilot project. This was a PG&E project that was started in 2006. PG&E suspended permitting efforts of the Humboldt Wave Connect pilot project. The decision was made after several challenges made the project unviable as its proposed configuration at its proposed configuration and location. And this was in 2007. PG&E examined the feasibility of using the power of ocean waves to create clean renewable energy, but basically found that the site selected for the project was not viable. Significant challenges emerged, and the cost of the project were higher than projected. Now, that was 2007. The energy has changed. I know the dynamics of the science have changed. Call your attention to the European Maritime Energy Center, EMEC's website. The EMEC operates a UK-based wave energy test facility similar to the proposed project that is being considered here in Morro Bay. It is very enlightening and opened my eyes to the current science with regard to wave energy in this country. Thirdly, the Central Coast Wave Connect project was a project, again, through PG&E that was in Santa Barbara, California. That project, on April 29th, 2011, PG&E formally suspended further activity of the Central Coast Wave Connect project and filed with the federal FERC to surrender the preliminary permit for the project. The permit was for the purpose of investigating the opportunities of developing such a project. I highly recommend it that you oppose.
Thanks, John. Anybody else for public comment? Seeing none, I'll close public comment and bring it back to council. I know usually we start out with questions from council and then public comment. And it's interesting, usually council by discussing our questions kind of provoke more thought from our public comment, but some of your comments have provoked some thought, so there's some additional questions that I might want to start out with for Mr. Endersby, and then we can get into discussion from the rest of council. But Eric, the graph that's up there, because Dynegy and their contract company that's proposing this came out and did, as stated, you know, met with fishermen, met with council members, you know, wasn't behind closed doors. I mean, it was in a room. I mean, it wasn't a public meeting. It was an invitation thing. So the premise of behind closed doors, I don't think it was necessarily secret. It was just a matter of, hey, we want to meet with all you guys. So having said that, I agree, coming back with a public meeting really is probably the way to go. But I wouldn't want to suggest that just because we had those meetings, it was to meet secretly without, you know, having any public knowledge of what was going on. So having said that, when they did come out, they shared with the fishing organization and council and staff and others, and quite frankly, I don't know who else they might have met with, a graph of where the, and I'm going to call it a field instead of a park. How's that? That probably work a little bit better. So those fields that are designated in that area, were those the exact locations that they presented when we were here?
They when I met with them, and when the fishermen met with them first time, and the fishermen met with them subsequently, and I think the initial comments we made in terms of the fishing impacts, they had a general idea. They started with a depth that they thought these things needed to be in for the maximum wave generating potential. And then they looked at wave shadows in different locations within the greater Estero Bay, you know, from Point Bouchon at the south to Point Estero Cambria in the north. And they had some general areas where they were thinking they would best go. And one of them was in the north, at what you see on the screen there. They didn't have, at least the meetings I were in, they didn't have graphics like that, but they said, you know, generally up here in about this depth, and then the other one was about where they show this one, you know, generally out here in about this depth. And we, with the fishermen, from the fishing standpoint, the concerns obviously were to the impact of the different fisheries and where best in the depth constraints that they had and the fishery concerns that the fishermen had, came upon some areas, like I said earlier, between the two and further out in deeper water. And their takeaway from that was basically, okay, we're going to go back to the drawing board and we'll come back with some more graphics or some newer. So
what we've created was a regulation for more renewable energies. So now, and this is just my understanding, I mean, it's pretty complex. Even working in the industry, it's pretty complex. But it's more about if you have renewables, you're going to be guaranteed to be able to sell that into the marketplace. And I don't know if that actual regulation was in place back in 2007. So that's one thing that comes to mind on that. And I hope you understand the difference there. It's not just about science, but it's a matter of if you have an investment in any power generating facility, it's whether or not you can sell it and get a return on your investment. And now I believe what's more, the incentives are, if you have renewable energies, you're guaranteed a spot out on the grid to sell. So that's probably one of the things I see as an advantage as far as doing renewables. And the other distribution at Diablo Canyon, interesting thought, but I would probably just say from having some knowledge in the field, the distribution that's there is designed for the plant that's there. So to add another 600 megawatts, if that's what they were going to be building, you know, I'm not sure that for one thing, there's another regulatory issue. But then the engineering wise of having to add 600 more megawatts onto an existing distribution line that's designed for what's already existing. So those are two remarks that I have in regard to science and distribution that were made by the audience. And then with that, I do have some other my comments on this are that I think that what is proposed isn't necessarily what came to us. Us being, you know, council had sat down with the Dynegy Separately. Thank you. Yeah, for that clarification. Our staff, the fishing industry, and the stakeholders there, and it's not accurate as far as what we looked at there. I think our job is to protect the city, and part of protecting the city is protecting our fishermen and those that industry. Me personally, I'm in support of opposing this altogether because I don't think we could. I don't think agreeing to it conditionally, thinking that we can come back to the table and negotiate, is the way to go. I think if we want to do this, we just oppose it and have Dynegy come back to us openly, as suggested by Ms. Doerr, and have those discussions in a public workshop and go about it that way. And that, I think, is a measure of, you know, Dynegy and their contract firm. Oh, I can't. What is that? G-Wave. Thank you. G-Wave. With that, but that's my position on it. I think you know, our job is to protect the city, and though, you know, green or renewable energy such as wave energy is really, really interesting coming from the energy field. You know, it's pretty exciting. But you know, that's not my job. My job is to make sure that we're protecting the city, and I my view is that we need to oppose it, and that's where I stand on it. So I'd be open for other comments. And George, if you want to start out with your comments as well.
Yeah, I'll be pretty blunt. This is about the most ridiculous thing I ever seen. I mean, I wouldn't want to be on the city council to approve this. Tell you that. They've got to come up with a different plan than this. I mean, it not only ruins the fishing operations to a degree, but just the sporting boats in general, and I don't mean just sport fishing boats, but boat activity. And I think Morro Bay could do without this. I without this plan, definitely, we can do without. That's just my opinion on this thing, and I think I'd find a lot of support on that. And I don't even think we even need to discuss this any further. This is just totally wrong.
Christine?
Thanks. I do believe we need to discuss it a little longer, George, because we need to get the right letter to send the right message to back to FARC, which then goes back. No, I know, but I want to put your letter is a little bit brief, but there are a few things in the letter that I'd like to add. First of all, I think that when we talk about energy and what the future looks like, many of us, and you can look all through California, and the fishing community and the environmental community have come together in different ways, and people aren't necessarily that excited about seeing more drilling platforms from the shore in Morro Bay, so that's one way some people don't want to go. So the idea is really enticing to have this clean energy that we don't even see coming in, especially when we've seen, you know, the energy creation strategy from 50 years ago, which looks to us now like, you know, our closed power plant. So I think that it's exciting and interesting to see where this future lies. Because it's several paragraphs. I'm not as short of mouth as George.
Getting into the record is easy. You can just have receive and file and become part of the record. If you want the public to know what it means, you need to read it.
Is your mic on, Joe? Can you see?
Yes, it's on.
Okay, all right. Thanks.
Is that clear to the folks in the back who said they could you hear that? Oh, yes, they're saying yes. I wasn't sure they could hear. Is there a yes or no? One no? Okay, would you mind repeating it? One person can't hear.
To technically get it into the record, meaning the record of this meeting, you just need to receive and file it, a motion to receive and file it. However, because you're trying to communicate what it says, I would recommend that you read it.
Okay, well, I'll begin with there are three things. Before we discuss how we want to do that, there are just three things I think that are important to include in an opposition letter. And two of them were somewhat in the letter and a third wasn't. So what I thought about this afternoon was there are three key areas that have significant cause for concern for Morro Bay, and that would be 1, access to fisheries, 2, safe navigation, and 3, impact on marine mammals and other marine species. And when I began to think about this, I also went to the FARC website, and I would encourage you to do that. If you haven't done it, members of the public, it's a little bit difficult to navigate. So if you're having trouble, call me. I will tell you how I got through. But I was able to see other letters that have been turned in already about the project, and there was a very extensive and quite good letter from U.S. Department of Commerce, but the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, their National Marine Fisheries Service, presented a really good letter outlining what they believe to be some potential challenges for the project. So I did include some of that. And then in general, what I reflected on was what we went through most recently, where the environmental community and the fishing community and others who were concerned about seismic testing, that was a program proposed by PG&E, we had quite a bit of public comment and public, I'd say, advocacy around seismic testing. So those are some things that are fresh in my mind. And knowing that we haven't had any public input on the process, in not even having one meeting, is something that certainly we wouldn't, that, you know, that's never good to start a process with no public input. That's just my experience from sitting here. So those are some things that I went through my mind today, and therefore I wrote this letter. So that's just my intro to my discussion.
Great. So we'll come back to that and continue on with discussion. Thanks for your opening remarks. Nancy, would you like to comment?
Yes, I too understand the importance of alternative energy and maybe even the economic importance of a project to Morro Bay, but not this project. I think basically we need to send a good strong letter opposing it. I really like the letter that the advisory board recommends. Just a few of the things they say in here that I underlined in the next to the last paragraph. They talk about proposed and their current locations. Or in addition, the city believes that as proposed, both wave parks prove unacceptable navigational hazards. And then in the final line of that paragraph, it says, as proposed. And it's their proposal that upsets me the most, because when I had my meeting with them, I was lucky enough to be scheduled right at the end of the fishermen who were talking to them. So mostly I listened and let them continue. And we did have a chart very much like the one up on the wall now. And the fishermen could move the suggested areas around, and we talked about areas that would be far less damaging, not only to commercial fishing, but to all kinds of other fishing, to navigation in general. And it looks to me like in the proposal that they have suggested to us here, that they just kind of ignored everything that the fishermen said. That really upsets me, because they spent a lot of time, many of us spent a lot of time. It's not nice to be ignored, especially when it's your livelihood. I think this is a good letter. If we want to add to it, that's fine, but I think we definitely need to strongly oppose what they have done as proposed.
Thanks, Nancy. Noah?
Yeah, thank you. And I agree with this. The Harbor Advisory Board recommended letter is that it's weak on the additional impacts and concerns that I know are out there. We talk about in the Harbor Advisory proposal the fishing impacts, which are very important, but it completely misses the environmental impacts. And that is something that I think is a chief concern. And in looking at the proposal that Christine has brought forward, I think that's a much stronger letter, because it really puts us on record that there are more impacts than just the fishing and the recreational boating. And my thought would be, let's take a look at this letter that Christine's drafted. I'm particularly in favor of the last written-in section that talks about their lack of public information forums. And my only suggestion on looking at this letter would be to strengthen it in the first paragraph by adding just a clear statement of opposition. So it would be in that first sentence, we would like to submit the following general comments opposing Dynegy's preliminary permit applications to FERC as proposed for the Point Estero and Estero Bay Wave Park. So I think that would be a way to just put an exclamation point on our position, make sure that's very clear up front. The rest of the letter to me really does get to the core concerns that I have in a way that's not too wordy and specific, and then becomes a launching point for what would hopefully be a support from the FERC and then their effort to make sure that this process is concludes in something that we could all agree is a benefit to everyone.
Okay. Well, we're clear on opposing the project, so now it's mattered down to a letter. And I think, Christine, it might be an opportunity for you to read your letter. I think what you've drafted, and I think we had some good starting points from Eric and from our Harbor Advisory Board, so that's always good, your diligence and being a little bit more descriptive and laying out three distinct points is good, so we might want to just go ahead and read it. I made some notes based on what Noah was saying, and I just commented that in that opening statement, basically we can insert stating our position of opposition to Dynegy's preliminary permit applications. We can probably add a couple of statements in there, so that does, right in the very first paragraph, clearly state that we're opposed to the project. But if you want to take the lead on reading this, since you drafted this, and then we can go on.
Okay, thanks. And thanks for your support from my colleagues on the council, too. I appreciate it, because I thought, well, it could go in the shredder, so I wasn't sure. Not the shredder. All right, you know what I mean. So I kept some of the opening and closing remarks from the staff suggested letter, so they'll all begin. And I'm going to read it with Noah's edit on the first paragraph, already noted. While the city of Morro Bay is pleased to see alternative energy sources explored and utilized in our area, we would like to submit the following general comments opposing Dynegy's preliminary permit applications to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, FERC, for their proposed Point Estero and Estero Bay Wave Parks. That's paragraph one.
Mm-hmm.
I'll look up at every paragraph. Does that make sense?
Right. Go ahead and read it in its entirety.
Okay. Second paragraph. As currently proposed, the city believes both Dynegy Wave Park locations present significant cause for concern in three key areas: access to fisheries, safe navigation, and impact on marine mammals and other marine species. First, commercial and recreational fisheries have played a significant role in the development of Morro Bay and continue to remain vital economic and social contributors to our community. California West Coast fisheries are some of the most highly regulated fisheries in the world. The city believes that the Point Estero Wave Park location would significantly disrupt commercial and recreational fishing. Therefore, the city is opposed to this location for a wave park. I'm going to stop there because that is the fishery paragraph, and I want to thank Eric for most of that wording.
Great.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
And can I just make a suggestion there? Because just on that last sentence, or the second to last sentence, the city believes that the Point Estero Wave Park location, my suggestion would be, believes that both proposed locations. We expand it to include both. So we delete the Point Estero Wave Park location and change that to both proposed locations.
Point taken.
That's fine with me.
Yeah.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
May I just make...
Community? California West Coast fisheries are some of the most highly regulated fisheries in the world. Both proposed locations would significantly disrupt commercial and recreational fishing. We could leave it at that by removing therefore. It's sort of repetitive. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
In the second paragraph, I just want to notice that there's already a mistake. The second sentence begins, Morro Bay is a, and the word should be designated instead of designed. So just to get you ready for that. All right.
Easy mistake, huh?
Yeah, well. Second, the city believes that both Wave Park locations pose significant navigational hazards. Morro Bay is a designated harbor of safe refuge and is the only safe harbor between Monterey and Santa Barbara. Thus, a safe entrance and exit to our harbor are critical. Both Wave Park locations pose... Pose, singular, significant safety issues for the boating public, both commercial and recreational, and the city is opposed to the proposed locations due to navigational hazards. Yeah, that's redundant. So help me clean up that.
Okay, we can get through that.
Also, just to follow up again on Mr. Pinoni's suggestion in the other paragraph, to lead, let's just say both Wave Park locations.
Okay, so second comma, both Wave Park locations.
Yes.
And then the last sentence, too, is somewhat repetitive, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
So.
I think there's a component in that last sentence that's very important, because it expands the impacts, the navigational impacts, not only to commercial but also recreational. And that's an important component, the recreational side, because that speaks to the tourism impacts as well.
Okay. So do you think both Wave Park locations pose, I have to remove the S from the word poses, significant safety issues for the boating public, both commercial and recreational, period?
Period.
And then maybe the last sentence could say the city continues to oppose the proposed locations due to navigational hazards.
I know. We need that thesaurus for proposed.
Continues to oppose.
Do we have another? Do you have a third copy of this? Maybe I'll give it to Joe so he can read along with this.
Oh, you know what? I don't have another. So sorry. All right, now they're sharing. Thanks. I'm just having a hard time closing that paragraph.
All right.
Really? Both Wave Park locations pose significant safety issues for the boating public, both commercial and recreational. Therefore, I mean, you can put therefore in. Therefore, the city is opposed. Maybe just opposed, period. Oh, I get it. The city is opposed. Due to. Oh, gotcha. Okay, so to
therefore,
the proposed locations comes out. Yeah, got it.
Okay. So, you want
so the last that? Sentence is, both Wave Park locations pose significant safety issues for the boating public, both commercial and recreational, comma, and the city is opposed due to navigational hazards. And then we can always come back, and Mr. Pinoni can always add something in as well. Should we move forward to the third? Okay. All right, third. Morro Bay's ocean environment is the natural habitat for a wide variety of marine mammals, including whales, harbor seals, sea lions, and dolphins, some of which are currently listed under the Endangered Species Act. The city believes that, as proposed, the projects have the potential for significant negative impact to marine mammals and may increase the risk for collision or entanglement with the wave energy converters, or WECs, mooring systems, or transmission lines. In addition, the introduction of man-made noise into the environment may cause disruption in marine mammal communication, migration, or navigation. The city believes that these disruptions must be mitigated to the maximum extent possible at any proposed Wave Park location.
Just again there, I think it makes sense to remove the city believes both in the second sentence and just make it as proposed.
Yep, in both cases.
And then the last sentence.
Gotcha.
Same thing. Just turn into these disruptions.
Gotcha.
Yep. Okay.
I would also suggest that you change the, and I'm not sure if you, was that your suggestion? The city clerk also suggests that you change the ors in where it says mooring system or transmission and migration and navigation to and.
Oh, okay, so WECs, mooring systems, and transmission lines? Right, I wasn't sure where we were going to go when I was typing it, so I didn't come off too strong at the end, but I would be open to that, and I agree, since we are opposing.
Can you read all the corrections one more time? Not to bore everybody, but I think if we've worked it all out, read it in its entirety with the corrections.
And then come up with a closer?
Even with the closer, have you made the correction on the closer?
I haven't come up with anything stronger in this brief moment of time, perhaps.
It was changing, deleting thank and putting we anticipate you.
Taking the comments.
Right.
If I may be so bold.
Yes, absolutely.
As an alternative to that, we trust that the comments of the City of Morro Bay will take into consideration. It's another alternative. Just to confuse it more.
Either or. I'm good. Both of them are good.
Wow, this is fun. Normally we get criticized for wordsmithing, but now, wow, the staff's even participating. I love it.
We
anticipate
urge,
stronger in my mind.
Okay, we'll go with a legal. if we get consensus on that, we anticipate.
That's fine with me. Yeah. So we anticipate.
Thanks, Eric. Though don't feel you can't say more.
So it's you anticipate. We anticipate you taking.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I think we got it. Would you mind just, can you read it from start to finish for everybody? I think it's, now that we've gone through it. Yeah.
Okay. Is that what we all want to do? Yes?
Yeah.
Kind of. Well, you have to be forced to pay attention now, like earlier. Okay, I'll be quick. While the city of Morro Bay is pleased to see alternative energy sources explored and utilized in our area, we would like to submit the following general comments opposing Dynegy's preliminary permit applications to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, FERC, F-E-R-C, for their proposed Point Estero and Estero Bay wave parks. As currently proposed, the city believes both Dynegy wave park locations present significant cause for concern in three key areas: access to fisheries, safe navigation, and impact on marine mammals and other marine species. First, commercial and recreational fisheries have played a significant role in the development of Morro Bay and continue to remain vital economic and social contributors to our community. California West Coast fisheries are some of the most highly regulated fisheries in the world. Both proposed locations would significantly disrupt commercial and recreational fishing. Second, both wave park locations pose significant navigational hazards. Morro Bay is a designated harbor of safe refuge and is the only safe harbor between Monterey and Santa Barbara. Thus, a safe entrance and exit to our harbor are critical. Both wave park locations pose significant safety issues for the boating public, both commercial and recreational, and the city is opposed due to navigational hazards. Third, Morro Bay's ocean environment is the natural habitat for a wide variety of marine mammals, including whales, harbor seals, sea lions, and dolphins, some of which are currently listed under the Endangered Species Act. As proposed, the projects have the potential for significant negative impact to marine mammals and may increase the risk for collision or entanglement with the wave energy converters, mooring systems, and transmission lines. In addition, the introduction of man-made noise into the environment may cause disruption in marine mammal communication, migration, and navigation. These disruptions must be mitigated to the maximum extent possible at any proposed wave park location. Additionally, the applicants have not held any public information forums detailing the project, which inhibits stakeholder awareness and participation in the process. We anticipate you taking the comments of the City of Morro Bay into consideration with regard to Dynegy's preliminary permit applications for their proposed Point Estero and Estero Bay wave parks.
Great, thank you.
One last suggestion.
I know there's one last suggestion.
I am very open to improving the letter.
May I just suggest an additional last sentence, something that says something like, we reserve the right to make additional comments if the project proceeds further?
That's perfect.
And I have a suggestion, too.
Have you got that, Christine? We reserve the right
to make additional comments?
Mm-hmm.
And then could you say that if the project proceeds?
If this project proceeds further.
Okay.
All right. And then just a couple of strengthening edits in that first paragraph here. just after the comma, while the City of Morro Bay is pleased to see alternative energy sources explored and utilized in our area, we submit, take out, we would like to, the following comments, just take out the general.
Okay.
And then in the second paragraph, as currently proposed, take out the city believes.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Everybody agree? Yep. Okay. Well, you guys are
available, just helping people get to where they could submit comments, and just a little bit of detail on that, if you think that would be something you could do.
Yeah, that, we certainly could. It would, to me, it would make the most sense to link directly to wherever the comment form is, because like Christine said, I was navigating around a little bit earlier, and it's clunky.
Yeah.
It'll make it simple.
So, yeah, we could streamline that for people that are
okay.
interested.
Great. Great work, everybody. So we need to make a motion, and Christine, do you want to make that motion?
So moved.
I think we need a motion that's a little bit more restrictive than that. And
All right.
If you need help, I'd be glad to help you.
Well, you know, I didn't prepare for this section of the evening. So, you know what? If somebody else wants to take it on, I can.
Sure.
I'll withdraw my motion.
And we withdraw your second,
make,
Nancy?
Sure.
And then we'll start with a better motion.
I'd make a motion that the City of Morro Bay approve the letter that was drafted and discussed at the tonight's meeting and submit to FERC for comments filed before the September 22nd, 2014 filing deadline. Further, the alternative is on our staff report, says with the mayor's signature. I would be compelled that all of us sign this, and I think that should send a message. I think it's a city council and a city letter of opposition, and I would make the motion that this letter move forward with all of city council's signatures as presented. Do I have a second?
Is that a
motion and a second by Noah? Any other discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? None. Motion carries 5-0. Great job. And with that, we're moving on to council declaration of future agenda items. Do we have any future agenda items to discuss? None. To the left, to the right. None to the right. Quiet evening. Thank you very much for everybody's participation and all the work, and meeting adjourned.